Morning, church, and welcome to Gateway City Church, Combined Regions. Good to be together this morning. And if you are a friend that maybe infrequently comes to get with us, or you're here for the first time, we have two regions now in our church, and we are all together on Sunday morning here. And so today is a little bit different. I'm going to get right into the sermunion this morning. I'm trying to figure out who made that word up, sermunion. And so I actually Googled it. It didn't come up with it. I asked ChatGPT. So I'm going to go ahead and claim that I created that word, sermunion. We're going to get right into that this morning. And then after the message, we're actually going to have a little table talk here this morning. Of course, we don't have any tables, but we'll have a little conversation this morning. And then we'll take communion together, and then we'll do our offering talk. We'll close out with song, and then we're going to take about a five-minute break. So if you don't want to stay here for our business meeting, our annual business meeting, we're doing that today. We're doing them on Sunday morning because we believe our attendance is the best, and although I think that's going to change, our attendance is going to be phenomenal on Wednesday nights going forward as well. Amen. But right now, we're meeting us where we're at, amen? So we're going to have our business meeting, and then afterwards, we have some pizza and some salad if you want to stick around and do some fellowship. So let's get right into it this morning. So if you are been tracking with us, we've been doing a series on prayer. My wife, who is the spiritual person in my household, what's wrong?
Can you dismiss the middle schoolers to class?
Oh, middle schoolers, get out of here. Yeah. What were you thinking?
They wanted to hear you.
Yeah. This is an unusual time, so they usually know your body's just set to a rhythm of when you move. So, all right. Oh, no, I was kidding. You don't have to run. Yeah. All right, so yes, we've been doing a series on prayer. My wife said, hey, every year, we should start our year off with prayer. And so we've been doing a series on prayer. And just sort of a quick recap, the first week we talked about how prayer deepens our relationship with God. And then the following week we talked about how prayer fosters unity and growth within the church. And so we prayed for unity for our church. And then last week, Ron Hammer preached on the relationship between prayer and confession of sins. And so this week, the title is Groaning Prayers, a Reflection of Hope and Peace and Patience. It's a long title, but that's our title this morning. Let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the opportunity to be together. His family, I'm so grateful. Oh God, it's encouraging to be able to see our brothers and sisters from the St. Charles region to be together this morning. It's just a good feeling, God, to have our family together. And pray, God, for the meeting we're going to have later and even our time of pizza and salad we'll enjoy, God. But help us, God, to be able to give our attention to you, Father. We know, God, I know that we don't quite fully understand or grasp the power of prayer. And Father, we thank you that you give us that, a discipline, if you will, Father, just to help us. I pray this morning we gain a little bit better understanding of prayer. Father, that of course we are more prayerful people. And God, we're always just grateful and appreciative that we have access to you at any time. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go behind some curtain, but we have access to you anytime and always. God, which is something we can kind of take for granted, but God, help us to lean in this moment, to give our hearts to you and devotion to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I've noticed that I am becoming an impatient driver again. I felt like I repented of this, but the sin of impatience is once again rearing its ugly head in my driving. And, I live in the city of St. Louis, and so I'm often navigating the driving in the city. I don't know if you notice, but in the city of St. Louis, turn signals are mythical. And lane merger is what we call an extreme sport in the city. I was at a stop sign. I'm going to explain this to you. So I was at a red light. And you know how you get to these red lights and you're in the city, and so you want to turn left. It's on Manchester right over there. And so you want to turn left, but the cars coming across, they got the green, and it's traffic, and so they're just coming across. And everybody knows if you want to turn left, you got to get out in the intersection. So when that next car wants to make a left turn, you get your left turn in first, and then they get to go. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows this. But if you don't get out in the intersection, the light's going to turn red, and you're going to be stopped. So if you wait by the light, you know what I mean, it's going to turn red. And so every now and then you get someone who pulls up, and they're really being nice. Maybe they're not from around here. They're just down here. You know what I'm saying? And so they just stop at the light, and they think that, you know, the people going by, and they think they're going to get a turn. No. After the people going straight, the person who needs to make a left, they go left. The next person, and it's going, and the light turns red. And so you sit behind them, and you wait. So maybe next time they'll pick up on it. Light turns green, they stay. People going by. People making their left turn, light turns red. I'm behind this person. I'm trying to be like Jesus. And so the second, when this happens a third time, I just go, come on, and I hit the horn goes, boop. I didn't mean to do it. Maybe I meant to do it. I don't know. The heart's deceitful above all and beyond cure. Amen. The person panics. You can tell they go forward because they get nervous and they just turn right and get out of the way. And I went, oh, yay. Oh. But I'm convicted. I'm like, come on, Vince, you know. I don't know what I was supposed to do. I couldn't go around them to love. There was no, anyway. But I noticed that whether I did that or not, I'm becoming a little bit more impatient. And honestly, I think waiting is one of the most difficult disciplines for we humans, right? But waiting on God in prayer, while it seems at times to be impossible, it is actually what God calls us to do. Prayer is tough enough, isn't it? But I got to pray and I got to wait. You know what I'm saying? Like, prayer is a difficult enough discipline in and of itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, praying every day, I know I need to do it. It's something I should do. It's, dare I say, it's okay to even be a bit regimented about it. You know what I mean? Well, I don't want to be regimented in my prayer life. Why not? Like I said, I'm a slave to the toothbrush. Twice a day, every day, I just make it happen. You know what I'm saying? And nobody's going to talk me out of it. You know what I mean? It's a good habit. But prayer, man, it's tough, but I got to wait also. Waiting, praying, waiting, it tests our faith. It stretches our patience, and it often leaves us feeling uncertain. Yet the Bible reminds us that waiting is where hope and peace is where it grows. Waiting is where hope and peace grows. Amen. Let's see what the Bible has to say about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans 8:18. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Isn't that awesome? So we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the spirits grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Amen. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't even know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And the church said, in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. I love this. The Bible says even creation groans. Creation's going, come on, God. Come on, God. This ain't the way it's supposed to be. Come on. There ain't supposed to be wildfires that are burning up homes. Come on, God. This ain't it. This ain't the way it's supposed to be. Even creation going, how much more do we? Inwardly, the Bible says we're groaning. Here's the thing. You may not even know you're groaning. We're walking around on earth and we're just busy all the time. But inwardly, we're groaning. And every now and then, you may get a little taste of something and you may be tempted to go, this is a little slice of heaven. Lie. Not a slice of heaven at all. Inwardly, it's just a little bit say, oh, don't you long, don't you groan for the hope that we have, for the peace that will be. Three quick points here this morning. The first is hope anchors us in the unseen. Amen. Hope is not wishful thinking, church. It is a confident expectation that is rooted in the promises of God. For in this hope we were saved. You know, I love that the Spirit connects hope to salvation. Yeah. We're saved, that hope, that's, we have that salvation, and we have something to long for, something to hope for. We are hoping for sort of something that is present, but that is also in the future. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We hope for eternal life. We hope for redemption so that we don't have to live in this present moment of uncertainty, because we have this hope that springs eternal, the Bible says. But it says hope that's seen is no hope at all. And so it really is emphasizing that genuine hope thrives on trust and unseen. Genuine hope, it actually has to be unseen. It thrives on this idea where you can't see it. You've just got to hope. And again, it's not wishful thinking. It is unseen. It's unseen, but it's certain. Amen? Amen. Isn't that incredible that I have hope? I don't see it, but it is still certain. It says, who hopes for what they already have? That's not hope. Highlighting this idea that forward looking, you know, that there's a faith-filled future, that it looks out and to see something that is yet unseen. It's a little bit like planting a seed, amen? You know, right before the snow came, I went out and I threw out some grass seed. The snow helps. Yeah, you go, you laugh because you go, come on, man. See, well, I know how this works, see? You put the seed out, and even though I can't see it, I have a hope of a plush green lawn about this big in the city of St. Louis, amen? That my neighbor's dogs have not trained themselves not to poop on. But I will train them, amen? Though you can't see the immediate results, you trust the process. You trust that the harvest will come. You don't see it now, but you know it will come. Amen? Amen. Abraham and Sarah, when God came to them, said, you're going to have a child. You know it took them over 20 years to have that child? God came to Abraham and Sarah, says, you will have a child. And 20 years later, God told Moses, you're going to have a kid. It took over 20 years for that to happen. You see, God's faithfulness, God, it's never bound by our time frame. Amen. But I will tell you that it is in the midst when you're praying and you've got hope and you're tempted to give up. Those are the times when we've got to wait for the Lord. We've got to be strong and take heart, as Psalm 27 says. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. Lamentations 3:25 said, I love this. It says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. That alone should tell you that we are going to spend a life of waiting.
That's right.
And it isn't interesting that patience is the first characteristic in love. If you love him, you will wait, amen. Reflect on what you're waiting for. What are you waiting for? What is it that you're waiting for most? What is it that you hope for most? And will you wait on the Lord? Will you be strong and take heart and wait on the Lord? Point two, peace guards our hearts as we wait, amen. You know, Philippians 4:6-7 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
It says, don't be anxious. But with everything, in every situation, be prayerful, petition God with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And it says, and when you do that, it says the peace of God, it will guard your heart. It will protect your heart, the peace of God. When you're praying and you're putting it before God and you understand that putting it before God in and of itself doesn't mean, come on, God. Papa needs brand new shoes, you know what I mean? That's not how it works. You're not like, come on, God, bring it through, baby, boom. That's not how God works. He's not your genie in a bottle. You understand that the very nature means waiting. And in that waiting, I will trust God. And it is that the waiting in and of itself, which is the beautiful thing, amen. It can even have a peace about you. What are you doing? You're waiting on God. Waiting on the Lord. Stand strong, taking heart, waiting on the Lord. You know, we celebrated Miss Lucille Johnson's life yesterday. We had to, we moved it because we had that water main break out there, which we got fixed, praise God. I got to be patient. I was on the text message like, okay, can you tell the plumber that he needs to get that fixed by Friday? Jeff Hovey goes, bro, settle down. Brian calls me up. He goes, okay, you need to chill out, bro. I'm like, sorry. He didn't say it exactly like that, but that's how I heard it, amen. We got a memorial service on Saturday. We got all church on Sunday. We get that fixed anyway. He got it fixed, 3 hours, probably $1 million. But they got it fixed, amen. And I forgot where I was going with that story. Oh, Miss Lucille. Gosh. Miss Lucille. And I really appreciate Yolanda was telling me the story. And, I mean, it was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony yesterday. I mean, Hadrian's done some great videos. Yesterday's video was amazing. I cried. Casey Sharon, I cried multiple times. Yolanda was telling me the story that when Miss Lucille came home from the hospital, she was laying in her bed and on hospice, and she woke up one morning and she was like, oh, she was kind of disgruntled. And they were all like, oh, Mama, what's wrong? What's everything? She goes, she said, I thought I'd be gone. And she said something like, oh, hey, God, let's just, all right. I'll wait another day. Even in the end, Miss Lucille was waiting on the Lord. Amen. Amen. But I tell you, there could be a peace when you wait on God.
That's right. Amen.
Peace is not about having answers. Right. Peace is about trusting God's sovereignty.
All right, Ben.
We can mistakenly think, I'll be at peace if I have all the answers. Well, that's not how it works in the Christian life, amen? Which is maybe a little bit why we struggle so much, right? Because we're so anxious, like, I need to know this, and I need to know that, and I need to know when, I need to know this, and I need to. And God goes, yeah, whatever. If I told you, your head would explode. So no, I'm not going to tell you. You don't need to know everything. And peace is not about knowing all the details, and the details, they can be limitless. Peace is about trusting God. Biblical peace transcends the circumstances. And it guards our hearts during the uncertainties of waiting. See, we need to be praying with peace in our heart so that our hearts don't get so anxious. They don't get so worked up, so fretful, so whatever. All of this anxiousness and fear, and it is all from the enemy constantly trying to make us afraid.
All right.
What are you afraid of next? The boogeyman is around every corner. And when you have peace, you go, I don't understand it all, but I'm okay with God.
All right.
Think of peace as a shield that guards your heart. Amen. From the anxieties. When you pray, pray for peace. Pray for peace for one another, and it will guard your heart. It will protect your heart from the anxiousness, the worry, the fear, the all of the what ifs. Amen. See, the Israelites, they wandered in the desert. If you go to Exodus, they wandered in the desert, and God provided them daily manna. It was amazing. But it's a lesson that God always provides. He provides day to day. He always has, and he always will for those that trust him. Amen.
Amen.
God will sustain us during our waiting. And I tell you, the best way to overcome this is to pray with gratitude in your heart. Spend time thanking God for what he is doing, even though you don't see it. Amen. Thank God, God, I know you're doing this, and I know you're doing that, and I can't see it, God, but I just want to thank you, because that's what Philippians says. Pray always with gratitude in your heart. Through prayers and requests of thanksgiving, the peace of God will guard your heart. Point number three, last. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. It says, I love this, we don't even know what to pray, amen? You know, isn't that crazy? We don't even know what to pray. Sometimes we go to God, we go, Father God, Father God, Father God. We go, Father God, Father God. And we start asking God for things like, oh, God, you know, please help my job. Then God goes, okay, yeah. And the Spirit goes, they don't know what they're talking about. But that's okay. We love them anyway, amen? Sometimes we're like little babies that come up to you like, they're right there. And you're like, yeah. And I love the mom to go, she's saying this. You don't know what she's saying. My baby's the smartest child on earth. No. No, they're not. No, they're not. The Spirit intercedes for us. Amen. The Spirit is always there to remind us and to align us with God's perfect plan. Our prayers are imperfect. They are. We have imperfect prayers, and thank God for the Spirit that is always coming in and saying, hey, let me help you. Let me guide you.
Amen.
Let me take your imperfect prayers, and I'll make them something amazing. See, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Though we are groaning and inwardly we groan and we see the creation is groaning and there's groaning everywhere and we're groaning because there's really something inside of us knowing that there is, I know there's something better. I know there's something better. I can't put my finger on it. And every now and then we will gravitate to something that maybe scratches a little bit. But that's not it. But inwardly we're groaning because we know there is something so much better. Amen. But you know, the Spirit, it sustains us when we're feeling most weary. When we're the weariest, when we're the most exhausted, when we're hurting the most, when we're the weakest, when we're the most frustrated, just like the earth is frustrated. This life, everything on it, is a certain degree of frustration. Amen?
Amen.
And inwardly we groan. The best example of this is this guy. This is Luke's account where sweat became drops of blood. It's Jesus that says, not my will, but your will be done. It's Jesus that found peace and surrender. Jesus who understood that even though I am at the end of my humanity and all that I know, I can be secure. That for the joy set before me, I can and will endure the cross. That I have a hope that they will respond. That they will take up this mission. Take up this cause, and they will respond. I hope that I trust that. I believe that in Jesus, at peace, in the most difficult of circumstances, leaning and trusting on the Spirit. Jesus recognized even his unspoken prayers are heard. I think that's why we don't have all of the words. He prayed there for a long time, but we don't have all of the words. I don't know what words he said, but we know that whether he said it or not, even the unspoken prayers that they were hurt, amen? If we had all of the words, we'd probably be going around trying to do it exactly like him. But the Spirit intercedes, amen? Brothers and sisters, our prayers, they reflect hope and peace as we wait patiently. We trust God in our prayers. Even during the waiting, our prayers bring lasting hope and they bring lasting peace. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a few minutes, which we do sometimes, and I want you to identify an area in your life where you're waiting on God. What's an area of your life that you're waiting on God? And I want you to pick someone in the room that you didn't come here with. Okay? Not someone that you drove here with. Preferably someone that's not even in your small group. You don't need to walk all the way across the city. But I want you to find someone. Someone. A group of three at max, because it'll take too long if you get a group of five. Amen? So I'm only going to give you 3 minutes to do this. And I want you to share what you're waiting. Share your waiting journey with that person. Share that waiting journey with your person. What are you waiting for? And I want you to know that you will encourage their faith. Amen? And then I want you to commit to pray for that thing every day this week. And maybe you're already doing it. If you are, amen. But then I also want you to commit to pray for the thing that the other person is telling you that week, amen? And if it's a group of three, well, you got two people to pray for. Sounds good? Come on. All right, so we're going to go on three. We're going to say 1, 2, 3, break, okay? We're going to see how you can do this, okay? 1, 2, 3. See that? Let's start over. Hey, wait. 1, 2, 3. One more time. 1, 2, 3. All right, that's better.